They've sold millions of albums, performed on six continents, on the world's greatest stages. And now, coming to Kingston, Grand On Stage presents Pink Martini.
Je ne veux pas travailler, non.
Celebrating their 30th anniversary, featuring award-winning vocalist China Forbes. Pink Martini, Saturday, March 22nd at Kingston Grand Theater. Tickets for Pink Martini and the rest of the...
Wolf Island and Kingston Massive. Saturday, April 5th, Canada's Reggae Ambassadors, the Human Rights, invites you to join us as we celebrate the release of our new album, One People, at the Hotel Wolf Island. Tickets are $25 advance at thehotelwolfisland.com, $30 at the door. Show starts at 7:30, and we'll be playing two full sets. Check out thehumanrights.ca for more info. That's the Human Rights One People album release party, Saturday, April 5th, at the Hotel Wolf Island, right...
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the...
Le Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is now on. Until March 31st, enjoy contests, performances, free film screenings, and local activities to cultivate your Francophone.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Queen's University since 1922. In this special edition of Campus Beat, we have the privilege of chatting with Queen's University Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale, alongside Hannah Burrows, Aura Maxwell, and Zaid Kassim, this year's Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award winners. I'm Dinah Jansen. Named in honor of Dr. Agnes Benedictson, former Chancellor of Queen's University from 1980 to 1996, the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award and induction into the Tricolor Society is the highest tribute that can be paid to a Queen's University student for distinguished service, leadership, character, and community impact during their time at Queen's. Queen's Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale, who also won a Tricolor Award last year, has announced that the Tricolor Awards and Induction Gala will be held on April 4th, 2025. CFRC will continue its tradition of live broadcasting this wonderful event on Friday, April 4th from 5 to 7 p.m. In the meantime, learn more by visiting queensu.ca/alumni about how to register for the award ceremony and learn about the Tricolor Awards through the Office of the Rector website at queensu.ca/rector. Let's dive in now to our chat with Queen's Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale and this year's Tricolor Award winners about the awards and the winners' tremendous impacts on Queen's University's life and culture. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
Came my way on a summer day, flying out of broken soul. Safe to say it,
all right. Thank you for joining us, Nikki. It's a real pleasure having you back with us at CFRC. Welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be here.
All right, Nikki, as the rector, you have a lot of responsibilities on the day-to-day basis, but you're also a student and a person. I wonder if you could just give us a snapshot into your day-to-day life as a student, your program of study, what you're doing on your spare time, if you have any.
Yeah, well, thanks for reminding me that I'm a student and a person, because sometimes I forget that it is midterm season. So I've been at Queen's studying here for 6 years now. I started out in 2019 doing a Bachelor of Fine Art and the Concurrent Education program. So I've graduated from both of those now, and I decided to continue my studies with research, and I'm doing a Master of Education. And during my free time, I really like exploring the Queen's and the Kingston community. Like, I think we've got quite an awesome arts scene, which I really appreciate. In the winter, especially, it's awesome to go. We have, I think, like a skating rink around every block right now. So that's been fun.
And who's in your playlist these days? What are you listening to music-wise?
Oh, that's great. So I listen to a lot of the same people. Wild Rivers is my favorite band. They're actually, two of the three of them are Queen's alumni. They met at Queen's and they started this band together, and they used to perform in like the backyards of Kingston student houses. And then they actually met a third person who my dad taught high school music to. So I've got that connection. I'd say they're always playing, as well as some Kingston classics too.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing. And now, Nikki, we know you are the Queen's University Rector, and you joined that office last year after also winning the Tricolor Award yourself last year, which is amazing. I would like to chat a little bit about the role of the rector and what this office does. Many of our listeners may not actually know what you do on the day-to-day as the university rector. Give us a snapshot.
Yeah, it's a unique role. I hold the third office of the university, and what's really special about this role, like, what's special about this role compared to the other offices above me at the university is that I am elected by students, and I am a student. And so my role is really baked into the governance system at Queen's, which means I wear quite a few different hats. Like, I'm a trustee on the board, I observe Senate, I confer degrees and awards at convocation. And what's most important, in my opinion, to the role of the rector is I communicate student voices to the administration, and often vice versa as well. Sharing with my peers in student government what the administration is thinking and doing and why, and giving them some insight into that. And then, of course, my office works on various initiatives and projects, and we make it out to a lot of student and alumni and community events throughout the year.
Wow, thank you so much. And now, our episode today is focused very specifically on the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Awards, an honor that is bestowed upon students each year. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about these awards.
Yeah, so the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award, often just called the Tricolor Award, is the highest tribute that a student can receive for their service and commitment and community impact to the Queen's community while they're a student. And what is so meaningful about the award, and in my perspective, is that it's you're nominated by your peers, and the award is decided by peers. So that is always extra special, having your peers recognize you. The award is named after Dr. Agnes Benedictson, and she was a Queen's Chancellor. She was actually the first female chancellor at our school in the 80s. And there's actually also a lot of places named after her on campus, like the Benedictson Field behind Grant Hall and the Benedictson House on top of Summerhill. So she clearly had a really great impact on our community. So that's a little bit about the award itself.
All right. And now, how are winners nominated and selected for this award?
Yeah, so each year, like I said, students are nominated by their peers. So they submit the nomination package, which usually includes a lot of letters of support. And those letters often come from a combination of students and faculty or staff or community members, alumni, etc. And then the packages are reviewed by the selection committee, and the selection committee is comprised of one representative from the AMS, from the SGPS, as well as each faculty society in the undergraduate and graduate student bodies. So they choose their top 10, and then we interview them, and that takes like 2 full days of interviews. And then there's a series of deliberations, and then we end up with our final recipients for the year. And I am the non-voting chair of the committee, so I'm really like organizing a lot of the logistics and making sure the process is moving along. So the committee just has to, you know, show up and do their important part. But I think the best part of it is I get to call the winners, and those are probably the best 3 phone calls I've made this year.
Well, I had a chance to catch up with each of the three winners this year, and all of them told me about getting that phone call from you, and we'll hear from them shortly.
Yeah.
So I wonder, in your own words, too, can you tell us a little bit about each of the winners before we hear from them in this episode?
Yeah, certainly. So every year, I read the bios of the recipients. And last year, when I was one of them reading my co-recipients for that year, I'm just like blown away and so inspired by the service and innovation of the recipients. And this year was, you know, no different. And I also get the honor of writing the bios that people see posted online. And it's really challenging because they're like about 100 words, and it's hard to cram in everything that they've done. So you're really just seeing like the top of the iceberg when it comes to their service and contributions at Queen's. And what stood out to me amongst all three of the recipients this year is they all noticed a problem in their community and found ways to address it and fix it and make things better for their peers. So I'll just name off maybe one thing from each of the recipients that really stood out to me as like, wow, that was incredible. So starting off, Hannah, she found through one of her courses and her research that there are millions of untapped dollars in post-secondary awards. And she realized that it's a process that a lot of people don't know about or unsure how to do well and get those, get that funding. And so she actually co-authored a book that is now published so students can understand the process of achieving of obtaining these awards and funding. And she's now in the process of making a second edition of it. And this one is going to have chapters dedicated to Indigenous students and Black students and other equity deserving students. And so they're able to understand the certain processes that pertain to them. Zaid has been around for a long time. He was AMS president when I was like just starting at the AMS. And it's kind of funny that we're both still here. I don't think either of us expected to be here this long. He's championed this year food insecurity, and he's leveraged years of relationships that he's formed with various groups at the university and departments. And he's built and developed the most robust food programming for graduate students in Queen's history, which is clearly very important right now as the cost of living crisis that we're facing. And Aura is our youngest recipient this year. She's still in her undergrad, and I can't wait to see what else she's going to keep doing while she's here. But thus far, she's built some really important supports and programming for equity deserving students at Queen's, actually before they even come to Queen's, because she works with admissions as well. And what she's focused on is making sure students are feeling welcomed and excited to be on campus. And we know how important that feeling is while you're studying here.
Amazing, amazing. And now, all of these winners are going to be inducted, I understand, on April 4th at the University Club, a big gala event. I wonder if you could shed some light on what attendees might be able to expect, and CFRC will also live broadcast that event for folks that can't be there in person. What can we expect that evening?
Yeah, so you can expect an oil thigh. I have to start with that, so people are prepared to do some dancing and singing. It's really like it's a classic Queen's event with the bagpipers and the celebrations. We invite the Tricolor Society members back every year to help welcome the new recipients, their families and friends, and university supporters will be present. And we also have speeches from one of the Tricolor Society members, Anne Pye. She's an art sci graduate from the early I think it was 2020 she graduated around then. And she, one of the things she did to get that award was she founded Step Above Stigma, which is a club at Queens, and it's now expanded into chapters across the province. And our chancellor, Sheila Rogers, will be coming to celebrate, as well as our principal and myself.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Anything else to add before we close?
Yeah, I would like to say a sincere thank you to the selection committee. There were 9 students that dedicated a lot of hours reading packages. We had the highest number of nominees in recent history. So that took a lot of their time, the days of interviews and deliberations. And these individuals are also doing some really amazing things in their faculty societies as leaders, and also incredibly committed students at our community. I'd like to thank them for their time and service on the committee.
Wonderful. And actually, last question for you. How do people learn more about your office? How do people learn more about these awards? How do we learn more?
There's a lot of places to learn more. So the easiest place is to just go to queensu.ca/rector, and you can find all about the Tricolor Award. And there's also links to my socials. We're very active on Instagram, queensurector. So I'm often posting videos and updates to what's going on, and photos of exciting events. And students can also read my monthly column in the Queen's Journal. That's a project that I've really enjoyed doing this year.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Folks, we've been chatting with Nikki Boychuk-Hale, the Queen's University Rector, all about the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Awards. Thank you so much for taking so much time out of your very busy day to join us and sit down with us today.
Thank you.
Gave you my older heart, still and strong, but I wouldn't have a fight like I do today. Oh, it burns for you, babe. Oh, you got nothing on my tendency to be led astray. Oh, took a blindside hit to show me the right of way.
And thank you again to Queen's Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale for joining us to chat about the awards overall, and we hope you're enjoying some music by Wild Rivers, a big band formed right here at Queen's University, recommended by Nikki herself. Coming up in our next segment, we're chatting with Hannah Burrows, Artside 23, about her Tricolor Award win. Burrows, now a curious interdisciplinary master's student, bridges the gap between academia and philanthropy. She co-founded the nonprofit To Help You Reach Knowledge and co-authored a textbook to guide students in securing scholarships and financial aid. Burrows uplifts and inspires those around her as a Residence Dawn teaching assistant and panelist with her innovative thinking and supportive mentorship. Let's dive into an uplifting chat with this remarkable Queen student. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM and our special coverage of this year's Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Awards. And we are chatting with each of this year's winners. In the space with us now, we have Hannah Burrows, one of the winners of the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award for 2024-2025. Welcome, Hannah. Thanks for joining us here on CFRC.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Hannah, tell us about yourself and your program of study right here at Queen's University.
So I actually did my undergraduate here and a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, and I'm now finishing up my Master's in Cognitive Neuroscience, also in psychology. And I actually, yesterday, just got my acceptance into the PhD program here.
So that's, I'm oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's huge. Oh, wow. What a great week for you.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
That is wonderful news. Congratulations on all the fronts. My goodness.
Thank you.
Hannah, you are clearly busy with those grad school applications, and I'm sure all the funding applications that went with those too. But you've also spent a lot of time involved in campus activities and campus leadership. Tell us about your leadership and extracurricular activities that you've been up to over the years at Queen's.
Yeah, well, my research is actually with dogs. So, and my first thesis was in autism. So I've done a lot of work in different autism labs. So I started off in the autism spectrum disorders labs in the psychology department, and also the ad ed lab. So they're in the Faculty of Education, focused on helping special education initiatives, and really focused on helping students in the education and pedagogy realm of things. And through that, I really was interested in TAing. I loved teaching. And in my fourth year seminar course, this is a big shout out to Dr. Megan Norris. She's the best. She has a really tough project in her course, and it's basically solve any problem in education. And I remember sitting down thinking, okay, this is very daunting. But I started talking to people. The more I talked to different people in different faculties and different schools, they're all saying that financial literacy was a huge element of something that was really daunting and difficult, and they couldn't really wrap their head around educating themselves. And when I started to do research on it, we found that millions of dollars of scholarship money goes unclaimed every single year due to a lack of applicants. And we initially thought, what a great proposal it would be to try and create some sort of initiative or something to give students any sort of guide to apply to scholarships. So we started to make it as like a, this was just sort of an example that we were going to have in a class presentation, and we ended up writing an entire textbook and publishing it on, it's now formally published, but it's a textbook essentially that guides students to make scholarship applications and apply to higher education, especially from equity deserving backgrounds. And we did a really big basically a survey of over 500 Queen's students, and most of them said that they, even though they had like great grades, amazing extracurriculars, they felt that they couldn't articulate the skills that they had towards any sort of audience to gain any sort of funding. So the scholarship textbook has now been accessed over 10,000 times, which is really, really amazing. We published it this past summer, so it's pretty new, but a lot of people are getting a lot of traction from it. We actually won a really big award from the Financial Consumer Agency of Canada. So they govern most of Canada's banks, and they regulate a lot of financial bodies, but they also cover Canada's financial literacy. So they've published our textbook as well, and they've shared it, which is really exciting. But that's one of my many hats, but that's the one I'm really proud of.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. How exciting. And I'd love to chat with you more about that, and maybe we can get some PSAs or something related to financial literacy. We could chat about those later too. But yeah, thank you for sharing that information with us. And now, what motivated you to get so heavily involved in campus life and supporting your peers?
That's a great question. I think during COVID, a time where I think so many people felt so isolated, COVID was around like my end of my first year up until my third year. COVID as sort of my undergraduate degree. And I felt so disconnected from so many people that I felt like I really wanted to get involved in research, but just really meet different people and really enjoy my university experience. I got really amazing advice, and I share this with everybody that I mentor. It's just, university is how much you put into it. So like the more places you're able to access, the more people you're able to interact with, the more you're able to really like plant yourself and diversify, I think it's really important. And I've gained so much myself just interacting with so many different students. Like, I'm so thankful for the experiences I've had, because like the textbook is a really good example of just, I was talking to a lot of different people that have this really similar pain point where we were like, oh my God, we could make this. This is awesome. So I think the people that are really, that you're able to interact with really motivate things like that.
Very cool. And now, what advice do you have, Hannah, for other students who may wish to get more involved in campus leadership and extracurricular activities?
I would say predominantly in the textbook and a lot of the research that we've done, so many students that are like stellar across the board, like have amazing grades, are involved in these really amazing initiatives. I think people do not feel like they can articulate their strengths, or they feel that they don't have the self-efficacy to do so. I think I keep a running list And I tell everybody this of like, if even if I've even volunteered a little bit, it's just basically like the highlights of the things that I've done. And I find I can like look back at them and say like, oh, I did that. Like, I feel proud of that thing. And I think people don't really relish in that. And they don't really, I think we're really good at being super humble in this space. But I think it's really important for people to look back at the amount that they've done and then say like, okay, like, even though those were volunteer, I think people diminish those things as well if they don't necessarily, if they're not a paid experience or something like that. But I think a lot of students have so many things to speak to or articulate that really hold a lot of value intrinsically and extrinsically in so many different spaces. And I think it's really important that people do more of that, because the more you're able to look back at your initiatives or to get involved, I think then you can sort of create those connections. Like, I'm in financial literacy, autism, dog work, like those things don't seem like they really correlate, but when I look back at it, like, it makes a lot more sense of the things that sort of like thread that common thread across them. So I would say definitely like keeping tabs on the things that you're interested in and trying to get in as involved as possible is really important.
Thanks, Hannah, for that. And last question. What were your thoughts when you learned you won the Tricolor Award?
It was so great. Honestly, I've had a really amazing year. I'm very thankful to be at Queen's. I think this is such a really, the school has given me a lot. Like, I think people really amazing people go to this school. And I think with the amount of people that move to Kingston to go to Queen's, I feel like it's so diverse. And I've had some really, really amazing friends. Like the textbook, it was the three people that I never would have met prior. Like, we were just in a course together and we decided to work on it the next entire year together afterwards. So I am very thankful for the people that I was able to interact with, but also I think we make our own luck. So the more that you're able to put in, I think it really pays off. So I'm very thankful and very excited about it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Hannah, for joining us right here on CFRC's Campus Beat to chat about all of the work that you've been doing at Queen's University. Congratulations on your Tricolor win, and congratulations on your acceptance into the PhD program here at Queen's.
Thank you so much.
It was always Amsterdam where we would put the distance to an end. We had gonna lay it out on a queen size bed, catching up on 21. Meet all your friends back home. That was not what it was. Broke it off on the telephone. It was always absolute. Everybody said we were moving fast, but now I'm pretty over.
And thank you to Hannah Burrows for joining us. Coming up in our next segment, we're chatting with Aura Maxwell, Health Sci 26, about the exceptional contributions she has made on campus leading to her Tricolor win this year. Maxwell is an inspiring undergraduate student committed to mentorship, advocacy, and building a sense of belonging. She co-founded Queen's Cancer Kids First, supporting pediatric cancer patients and caregivers through awareness and education. As a commitment scholar, Maxwell empowers others through inclusive programming and mentorship, serving as an equity ambassador, Residence Dawn, Q Success senior mentor, and tutor for equity-deserving students in Kingston. Let's dive in now to our chat with Aura Maxwell. All right, welcome back, everyone. We are in the studio now with Aura Maxwell, who is another one of the Tricolor Award winners for this year. Welcome, Aura, to CFRC's studios today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate having the chance to be here.
So congratulations to you on your Tricolor win for this year. I wonder if we can learn from you about your program of study and a little bit more about you as a person and a student at Queen's.
Yeah, great question. Thanks. I'd really love to share a little bit more of my story and my journey here at Queen's. So to begin, as mentioned, my name is Aura Maxwell. I'm a third year health sciences student. And honestly, I've had a really great time here
here at Queen's. I love the program. I love how we have that personalized learning time that we can do from home, the online modules, and then we can come into class and really synthesize all the knowledge in a small group session. So I really appreciate that. But a little bit outside of school. So I spent quite a number of years in London, England, and that was my home for quite a while. And then we actually immigrated over to Canada, to Alberta. So I live in rural northern Alberta. And then I did a lot of schooling here in Ontario. So I've experienced both that rural versus urban lifestyle. Honestly, it's been quite an interesting jump to flip back and forth. In my hometown, we have more trees than skyscrapers. So we have that really outdoorsy energy, which honestly I quite like. But here in these more urban centers, there's a bit more of a hustle and bustle, and it reminds me more of being in England. So I really love both of those experiences. And just to touch a little bit on my hobbies and things I like to do outside of school, I really like playing squash. I was put on to squash by one of my good friends, and now I really enjoy doing that. I also am very lucky to be living right here on campus, right by the pier. Every Queen student knows the pier is right here on campus. I love watching the sunset from there and just watching the waves crash against the rocks. It's very calming for me. And I also really love playing board games and cooking and eating food. I'm a big foodie, and I'll probably discuss that a bit more later. I'm just really glad to honestly have had such a depth of experience as a Queen student, and I look forward to continuing on.
Amazing. Thanks so much for sharing. So tell us about your campus leadership and some of the extracurriculars that you're up to. Well, you mentioned you do like those board games and you spend a lot of time with food, and also you play squash. Are you doing any of these things in a formalized fashion at the university, for example?
Yeah, those are a really good question. Thank you. So I would say if I had to kind of divide my campus leadership and extracurricular activities into three groups, I would say advocacy, mentorship, and creativity. So to begin with advocacy, I've really found that there are a lot of vulnerable groups, whether it be equity-deserving students, marginalized groups, who need a little bit more support and who have historically been left out of making decisions or having impacts on their lifestyle choices. So to begin, one thing I'm really proud of being able to do here at Queen's is actually co-founding a club of my own called Queen's Cancer Kids First. So I am the co-president, but we have three other presidents on our team, and we also have many students who work with us in different portfolios. And through Queen's Cancer Kids First, or QCKF, I've really been able to help support pediatric cancer patients and their caregivers in that experience of dealing with a condition that can be quite debilitating, especially for youth. So helping out with those fundraising campaigns, educational campaigns, just teaching a little bit more about cancer and how it can really manifest differently. And it's been really great that we've actually made an international partnership in Uganda. So we help support students and children there who need chemotherapy and transportation costs. And we do this through fundraising. So honestly, it's been really incredible to have not only national, but also international partnerships. And this has been a really strong way for me to showcase advocacy. Another example right here on campus is I'm co-conference chair for Queen's Save the Mothers. And for me, I really do have an interest in women's health and trying to reduce maternal mortality. I'm Nigerian, and we have high rates of maternal mortality in Nigeria and other areas in Africa. So honestly, I really have a personal passion in trying to increase the education towards how to give that woman's health. And specifically, we actually have a conference coming up in the next few weeks, and we're focusing on barriers facing mothers postpartum. So looking at social supports, educational supports. So these sorts of things really help me to utilize that advocacy I was talking about. And then last but not least on this advocacy point, I'm also an equity ambassador. This is one of my favorite roles. I've had one of my most long-standing roles actually here at Queen's, and it allows for me and the other equity ambassadors to help prospective high school students, equity deserving students who want a little bit more of some advice and insights into student life as a post-secondary student. So acknowledging that barriers have existed in education for different cultural groups, and then making the path a little bit more straight and more smooth for these students has been something that I really value doing. I'll definitely move on to the mentorship aspect now. So I'm a Trailblazers mentor. Yeah. So the Trailblazers community is quite similar to being an equity ambassador. It's in supporting those high school students. We actually went to the Kingston Secondary Schools here in Kingston, and we're helping students who are in high school experience those questions they have about university, how to join clubs, how to get involved in research. And it's honestly been really fulfilling for me to be a mentor in this way to these high school students and let them know that if they can dream it, they can do it. And having that mentorship has been really valuable for me to continue in that in the Trailblazers program. And also here at Queen's, I'm a Q Success senior mentor. This has been a really fun role. I've been with Q Success since I first started at Queen's, from being a mentee to being a mentor, and now I'm a senior mentor. So again, helping with that mentorship aspect, providing feedback, providing support, etc. And then I'm also a bounce back mentor with SAS, so the Student Academic Success Services. So helping students who might be facing academic probation to just give them a little bit more support, resources, tools, and also just build rapport with these students. I have a great relationship with my mentees, and so I really enjoy having that. And moving on to the creativity side of some of what I do. So I already mentioned I love food. A lot of my friends, they make fun of me for this, but I am a big foodie. So I am on the Queen's Foodies Club here at Queen's. This has been a great, very relevant experience for me. We actually recently had a charcuterie board event, and I was basically in heaven. I love charcuterie. It was great just having that time to allow students to showcase dishes that remind them of home, and also just share food amongst our peers and our classmates. It's been a really fun experience. And also, for the Students of Color Collective, I was a runway model for their Culture Shock show. So I got to wear traditional Nigerian clothing, and I worked to Afrobeats music, and that was really fun. So honestly, I think with those three facets I mentioned, advocacy, mentorship, creativity, those are kind of ways I like to organize all of the roles, but it's not be all end all for those. There are obviously some miscellaneous things, but I really enjoy everything that I do, and I look forward to continuing.
How do you have the time? My goodness. Because you also have to study and go to classes. Yeah. My goodness. You were just tapped into all of the fun things. So good for you. So what really drives you? What motivates you to be so heavily involved? You're just everywhere. Why?
Yeah, $1 million question. Why do we do what we do? Honestly, I really have to think back to three words: pay it forward. When I think back to my younger times in Alberta, like I mentioned, I often didn't really have a lot of representation. I'd sometimes, most of the time, if not all the time, be the only Black girl in the room, in the classroom, not having a Black instructor or teacher, someone who looks like me, sounds like me. Those things are really missing from my childhood experience. And those are things fundamentally that provided adversity that I faced. So in this, I have to consider, what would younger me want? Younger me would want a mentor. And this is why I'm so passionate about mentorship. Younger me would have wanted someone to help me through applying to university. What can I do to stand out? What can I do to get research, to get collaboration, to get experience? I didn't really have these supports. This is why I do those as an equity ambassador, Trailblazers mentor. Helping people realize their potential is something that was lacking for me when I was younger. So for me, when I think about a time where I've been in someone's shoes before, I've been in first year trying to figure out how I'm going to spend my summer, whether it's going to be research or doing other things, and just having someone to help out, that's why I really enjoy doing that. And I consider the importance of representation, having people that look like you fill up the spaces that you inhabit. So for me, by having that missing, it's really been a fuel. It's almost like I use my own pain as a gain for others, to help uplift others, and also to help me feel so fulfilled while doing so.
Thank you very much. And now I wonder if you have any advice for your peers who may not be as involved as you are and are thinking about getting more involved in campus life, whether that's leadership and other extracurricular activities. What would you say to them to motivate them to do so?
Yeah, that's a really excellent question, and honestly, something important to discuss. How can you give advice to the next generation, the next future leaders? And honestly, I'd really just say that people should do it afraid. Do it when you're scared of it. I remember when I was in my first year, there was so many organizations, so many clubs, so many things. I didn't really know what I was qualified for. I didn't know how to really get my CV going, my resume, all those small things that can be difficult and seem so daunting. But honestly, looking back now as a third year student, I wish I had been more open to doing it when I was afraid, reaching out to professors, signing up for opportunities. I'd really recommend to utilize what we have here at Queen's. We have so many opportunities right here on campus. And honestly, I feel as though if you just lean into those, you can really get a footing and a space to really leave your legacy, leave your mark here on Queen's campus. And also lean on your support systems. For me, I call my mom all the time. I always discuss basically every choice and step with her. And she's been a really stronghold support system for me to get advice, but also to recognize my own limitations and when I can't actually do something and maybe consider a different alternative route instead. So if you're thinking, I have an idea, I just don't know what to do with it, bring it to someone, bring it to your professor, to your friend, to any sort of competition, case competition, and just publish those thoughts and ideas and collaborate with others, even if you're afraid. And that could be the kindling to start a beautiful burning fire of passion and imagination.
Well said. Oh, my. And now, so last question for you, Jorge. What were your thoughts when you learned that you had won the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award?
Excellent question. I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting in this very chair I'm sitting in now, and I was actually studying for a midterm when I got the phone call from Nikki, and I was over the moon. Genuinely, I'm so grateful. I still can't believe this is real, and I can't believe that this is a way for me to really showcase the things that I do. I'm really just honestly grateful for my support systems. I mentioned my mom already. The rest of my family have been such an incredible support for me to continue doing what I'm doing. I'm grateful to God. I had a lot of faith in this, and I prayed about this, and so I'm really happy to have come to this. And also, it's just exciting to know that with this award, that I can inspire others. You know, I really hope that we get more applicants, more people coming in for the next years of the award. And honestly, I'm just so grateful and humbled by this. And I'm just so excited, at a loss for words, honestly. And I'm just really grateful.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your very limited time by the sounds of things for joining us right here on CFRC's Campus Beat. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and wow, what an extraordinary journey you've had. I hope we hear more from you in the near future. Congratulations once again, Ori.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a lovely rest of the day.
And thank you to Aura Maxwell for joining us right here on CFRC's Campus Beat. Coming up now in our closing segment, we're sitting down with Zaid Kassim, Science 2021 and PhD 26, to chat all about the leadership contributions he has made at Queen's over the years, leading to his Tricolor Award for 2025. Kassim, an enthusiastic doctoral student in civil engineering, is a longtime leader and advocate. While AMS president, he played a key role in advancing the JDUC revitalization project. As the SGPS Vice President, Kassim established an extensive food insecurity programming partnership roster. Through clubs and committees, Kassim advanced student structural equity while mentoring other students. Let's move over now to our conversation with this remarkable student, Zaid Kassim.
Darling, I just see you've been so sweet to me. I've been waiting on the day all night.
Hello, and welcome back, everyone. I am now in the studio with Zaid Kassim, one of our Tricolor Award winners. Welcome back to CFRC, sir.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Dinah.
And congratulations on your Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award win.
Thank you. It's still settling in. It's quite the honor. I'm beyond excited and I'm very humbled.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, Zaid, I wonder if you can share with our listeners a little bit about you and your program of study right here at Queen's.
Yes, for sure. So my name is Zaid Kassim and I use he, him pronouns. I'm currently in my eighth year at Queen's. So I'm pursuing a PhD in civil engineering under Dr. R. Carey Rowe. I first came to Queen's in 2017 as an undergraduate student. And over the years, this place has truly become a second home for me. So my research right now focuses on developing predictive models to improve the long-term performance of geosynthetic barriers, which are critical systems that help protect the environment. Beyond academics, I've always been passionate about student leadership and community building, and I've had the privilege of serving as AMS president, the Engineering Society vice president, student affairs, and now I'm currently serving as the SGPS vice president graduate. In fact, I recently learned that I'm the only student in recorded history to have been elected to executive roles in a faculty society, the AMS, and the SGPS. But honestly, titles and positions have never been my goal. It's always been about the work, the people, and the chance to make a difference. And that said, really, at my core, I just see myself as an everyday Queen's student, someone who loves this university and wants to make it better. I've been incredibly fortunate to learn from, work with, and be inspired by so many people here. Being recognized with the Tricolor Award is a tremendous honor, not just for me, but for the amazing communities I've been a part of throughout my time here at Queen's.
Thanks so much. And now let's hear a little bit more about your campus leadership. You discussed a couple of your executive roles, but let's also hear about some of the extracurricular activities you're up to as well.
Yes. So my involvement in student leadership started, again, all the way back in 2017. I've been involved every year. During my first year at Queen's, if I had to name my first love in student leadership, it would definitely be the Engineering Society. That's where I got my start as a first-year project coordinator handing out cookies to stressed-out engineering students every week. It was a small gesture, but it showed me the power of community and support, which became a theme throughout my time here at Queen's. From there, I became a FREC, or an engineering orientation leader, those little purple people running around, helping welcome new students to Queen's Engineering. Fun fact, I was part of the last group of FRECs to dye ourselves purple using Gentian Violet before we found out it had not too great side effects health-wise. So that really feels like a lifetime ago. Later, I had the opportunity to step into a new role as NSOC's first ever Director of External Relations, where I oversaw our society's advocacy and relationships with other institutions. That experience set the stage for my first elected executive role as the Engineering Society VP Student Affairs. And in that role, I managed everything from student events, design teams and conferences to clubs, marketing and governance. One of the contributions I'm most proud of was helping establish the Social Issues Directorate. Before my time, NSOC had no formal focus on inclusion, equity, diversity, indigeneity, accessibility and anti-racism. And I was one of the first to recognize the need for this and work to make NSOC more equitable and inclusive for all students. After NSOC, I transitioned into university-wide leadership, first as AMS president and now as SGPS VP graduate. As AMS president, I had the opportunity to advocate directly to the Queen's Board of Trustees to waive the $10 million fundraising requirement for the JADA redevelopment project. That advocacy helped bring the project out of a standstill and into the construction phase. Still in the construction phase. We'll see one day when it's done. Something that will benefit generations of students to come. In my current role as SGPS VP graduate, I focused on food insecurity mostly, building the most extensive partnership roster in SGPS history with over $20,000 in food programming support specifically targeted to graduate and professional students. But beyond student government, I have also been involved in club life at Queen's, including serving with the Vogue charity fashion show. Fantastic organization. It's in a week for everyone who's interested. Please go watch it. It's amazing. And also Jack.org, Queen's chapter, which is a club that focuses on mental health advocacy. And student leadership has really shaped my entire Queen's experience. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's given me the chance to contribute to a university that's given me so much, and I hope I've helped make things a little better for the students who do come after me.
Thank you so much for sharing, Zaid. And now, what drives you? What really motivates you? You said you got your start back in EngSoc, passing out cookies in 2017. Why did you start to even pass out those cookies in the first place? And then grow and develop that involvement? What motivates you?
That's a great question. I think at the heart of it, what's motivated me to be so involved is a deep love for Queen's community and a strong belief in leaving things better than I found them. When I first arrived here in 2017, I saw firsthand how much student leadership can shape the university experience, and I simply just wanted to be a part of that at first. When I started at Queen's, I also noticed something else. There was minimal focus on equity and inclusion, and oftentimes I felt like I was the only person of color in the room, and in my first few years, that was a little isolating. I knew that for Queens to truly feel like home for everyone, we needed to create spaces where diverse voices weren't just included, but they were valued. That realization helped my approach to leadership. It wasn't enough to just take up space. I wanted to create space. I wanted to forge a path so that future student leaders, especially those from marginalized backgrounds, could see that they belong in these rooms and that they too can step up and lead. At mm-hmm. my core, I've always viewed myself as a servant to those around me. When things get tough, I roll up my sleeves, take my shot at solving the problem. I don't know how to sit back and not care. It's just not really in me to not care. In fact, I care so deeply about this university, the issues students face, the solutions we need, and the future that we're building together. And that care has driven me through every leadership role I've taken on. Each experience has reinforced why I do this work. It's never been, again, about the titles or the positions. It's always about the people. It's always about the impact and the responsibility we all have to make Queens a better place. And at the end of the day, I still really do see myself as just a regular Queens student. I've struggled through exams, I've pulled all-nighters in the library, and I've relied on friends and mentors to get through the tough times. This university has given me so much, and getting involved was my way of giving back. I hope that by stepping up, I've helped create a culture where more students feel empowered to do the same.
And on that note, what advice do you have for fellow students out there who may wish to get more involved in campus life, including leadership or extracurricular activities?
Great question. The best advice I can give to students who want to get more involved in leadership and extracurricular activities is very simple. Just start. You don't need to have a grand plan or know exactly where you'll end up. Leadership isn't about titles, it's about showing up, caring, and taking action when something needs to be done. I started my journey again in student government by handing out cookies to stressed out first year engineering students. It was a small, simple thing, but it showed me the impact that even small acts of leadership can have. From there, I just kept saying yes to opportunities that excited me, challenged me, or scared me a little bit. And before I knew it, I was in rooms I never imagined myself being in, making decisions that directly impacted students across campus. Another thing I'd say is don't let others hold you back. There will always be people who tell you that you're not qualified enough, not experienced enough, or that you don't belong in certain spaces. Ignore them. If you care, if you're willing to put in the work, then you do belong. Don't let someone else's doubt become your own, and don't be afraid to fail, because failure is inevitable. You will make mistakes. I have plenty of times, but failure isn't a dead end, it's a lesson. Some of the biggest growth I've had as a leader has come from the moments when things didn't go as planned. What matters is how you get up, learn from it, and keep going. The other thing I would say is don't be afraid to take up space. Again, when I started at Queens, I often felt like I was the only person of color in the room. It would have been easy to think I didn't belong, but I realized that leadership isn't about waiting for permission. It's about stepping forward and making space for others to do the same. If you don't see someone like you in a position of leadership, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be there. In fact, it probably means you need to be there. And finally, care deeply. It sounds very simple, but I think it's the most important quality of any leader. I've never been able to turn off my care for Queens, for students, for the challenges we face and the solutions we can build. When you truly care about something, you'll put in the time, you'll put in the effort and the energy to make a difference. Leadership isn't about having all the answers. It's about being willing to roll up your sleeves and work towards something better. So get involved, say yes to opportunities, take up space, don't be afraid to fail, and never let anyone tell you that you don't belong. You know where the journey will take. You never know where the journey will take you, but I promise it's definitely worth it.
Thank you. Very well said, Zaid. And now, what were your thoughts when you learned that you won the Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award this year?
Honestly, I was honored to be nominated and interviewed by the panel in the first place. The Tricolor Award has a deep history at Queens, and when I looked at the incredible students who had received it in the past, I never really thought I'd be among them. There was absolutely no expectation that I would be selected. In fact, the moment I learned, I was just minding my business in my living room, kind of working away, when my phone rang. It was the Queens University number, and on the other end was the rector, Nikki. Now, funny enough, Nikki and I have actually known each other for years. So when she formally asked, "Hi, is this Zaid?" I just laughed and I was like, "Nikki, is that you?" And then she told me I had won the Tricolor Award, and I just sat there in shock. It was one of those moments where time slows down a little bit. I didn't really know what to say other than, "Wow, really?" It was overwhelming in the best way. But more than anything, I just felt deeply grateful. Grateful for all the people I've worked alongside over the years. Grateful for the mentors and the friends who've shaped my journey. And grateful that the work I've put into this community has resonated with others. I don't know what I do for recognition, but to know that people saw value in it, it does mean the world to me. So after a little moment of shock, Nikki and I just laughed a little bit. And the last thing I said to her was, "Thanks again, Nikki. I need to go call my mom now."
Thank you very much. Anything else to add before we close, Zaid?
Yeah, really briefly. First and foremost, I want to extend a huge congratulations to the other two recipients, Orr and Hannah. It's already such an honor to receive the Tricolor Award, but an even bigger honor to be receiving it alongside two incredible individuals who have made such meaningful contributions to the Queens community. I want to sincerely thank Nikki and the entire award selection committee for the hours of work they put into reviewing nomination packages, sitting through interviews, and making what must have been some extremely difficult decisions. This award has such a long-standing legacy at Queens, and I deeply appreciate the time and thought that goes into selecting each recipient. I also want to take one last moment to recognize all the student leaders who weren't selected. There are so many student leaders at Queens who pour their time, energy, and passion into making this university a better place. Awards are never the full story. There are countless people out there doing the work, often without recognition, simply because they care. To every leader who continues to serve, advocate, and uplift others, thank you. Your impact is real, and this university is better because of you. And of course, thank you, Dinah, for taking the time to interview me today. It's been a pleasure reflecting on this journal and journey and sharing my experiences. So I'm truly grateful for your time.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you again for joining us. And we look forward to listening to and enjoying the upcoming Tricolor Awards Gala. Congratulations once again on this win for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How can you stand how it's shaking out when you're miles away, other side of the
Thank you to Zaid Kassem for joining us, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in and learning about Hannah Burroughs, Aura Maxwell, and Zaid Kassem, this year's Agnes Benedictson Tricolor Award winners. A special thank you as well to Queen's University Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale for also joining us and sharing details about the upcoming Tricolor induction ceremony taking place at the University Club on April 4th that CFRC will also broadcast live on location. Learn more about the awards and register for the ceremony by visiting queensu.ca/alumni or through the Office of the Rector website at queensu.ca/rector. Thank you for joining us here once again on CFRC's Campus Beat. I'm Dinah Jansen.
I love you anyways. I love you. We both have made some mistakes, and it is what it is, 'cause
no one should have to choose between feeding their family and being able to afford basic hygiene products. One in five people who menstruate are likely to experience period poverty this year. United Way Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington's Period Promise donation drive helps ensure no one in our community has to choose between basic needs and period products. From March 1st to March 31st, 2025, community members are encouraged